Happy Wednesday!
Let's get ready to rumble!
Senior Nation jam-packed show today.
Oh, yeah. How we doing, everybody? Welcome to the Power Hour. We got a lot going on today. We got three guests on the docket. First up, we'll have Dan Andre from Helios Medical on in around 15 minutes or so. Lisa Conte from Jaguar Health at 12:30. Trunk Pham, the CEO of Rise. This is an interesting company. They're not public, but you can still invest in them. I'll tell you all about that at 12:45. But I heard AB made some trades. We can talk about those trades in a second. Before we do that, though, let's do a quick crypto update. If we can, we'll bring the heat map up on the screen. And AB, I like whiter shades, right, of red. I don't like darker shades of red. I like lighter shades of red. It's better than being full red. So Bitcoin slightly in the red today, down 0.5% or so. Ethereum, kind of the same story. Binance Coin, it seems like Binance Coin is having a good week here. Let's see if I can bring up here on CoinMarketCap. Binance Coin in the last week is last week is up more than Bitcoin, up more than ETH, up more than most of the largest cryptos. So go Binance Coin. Hey AB, I have some trivia for you.
All right, ready.
Some crypto trivia for you. What percentage do you think of all the Bitcoin mined in the world was mined in the U.S. in July?
18%.
18. No, higher.
29.
Higher.
54.
Nah, not quite that high. 35.4%. This is, according to the University of Cambridge, they have a Bitcoin electricity consumption index. As you can see there on the map, China, big a fat block of gray because it's zero because it's illegal. Get it? Got it? Good.
Good.
But anyway, as a result of that, the U.S. Share of Bitcoin mining has increased dramatically. So we've got that going for us, which is nice. As a reminder, you don't have to mine Bitcoin to get Bitcoin. In fact, you can get Bitcoin for free. $50 worth. All you got to do is download the Voyager app, fund it with $100, use the offer code Zing, make your first trade. And upon doing all of that, you will get $50 in Bitcoin for free on the Voyager app. AB, when's the last time you made any crypto related trades? For me, it's been when I bought Solana like a month or two ago.
I actually sold some of my crypto probably about 2-3 weeks ago. Maybe it wasn't really out of any I want to sell this or anything. It was more like I have this money in this account and I kind of need some cash right now, so
cash. Okay,
yeah, sold some Cardano, sold some Ethereum, but right now Ethereum is actually my only crypto holding. I see Tokes and Trades in the chat talking about Sheeb.
Every day with Sheeb. I don't know. She was up again today. That's all I know.
But yeah, Spencer, let me go ahead and pull up my screen. I'll talk about a couple of the trades that I made today. I know we talked about that I shouldn't be buying options. I should be selling them, but I did buy some more options. But luckily today they are working out. This is kind of my YOLO trade account. Not that big, as you can see, only about $2,000 in this Robinhood account. But the portfolio is up 17% today, Spencer. Actually, 1738. Shout out Fetty Wap. And now it's 1767. So this morning I put these, I bought these $170 calls on Baba that expire next Friday, October 22nd.
Oh, man.
And Baba, so I bought them like probably right around here, 9:40 a.m. And now Baba has been ripping all day. So the contract.
So what was the thought process behind this?
Well, so Alibaba has been, the stock has been showing, you know, relative strength against the market over the past, week or so. If you look at the past week, it's up 10%.
Right. I know that. So I'm asking why today.
That's a good question, Spencer. So why today? We saw yesterday kind of actually it wasn't a great day for Baba's stock. So when I look at a long-term chart for this, which on Robinhood here, you can't really, you know, not the best for looking at charts. I see this continue to go higher to, you know, this like $190 level. But Spencer, as we know, everything can't go straight up. So basically on any kind of like dips or days where the stock underperforms, I'm going to be looking to making trades like this because my thesis is that it will, you know, then subsequently outperform the market the following day. So I'm probably going to bomb out of this one here this afternoon. I mean, the contracts are already up about 33%. You're
probably going to bomb out this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to hold on to it this afternoon.
No. You're up 17% in one day.
Well, that's I'm up 33% on this trade. The other contract I bought yesterday afternoon was a Roblox call, and kind of something, you know, similar. Yesterday was a pretty strong day for Roblox, and it was showing some relative strength against the market. From a technical standpoint, it looked like we definitely were going to come up at least to this $75 level. But as you know, Spencer, I'm not a pure technical or a pure fundamental trader. I kind of you know, just do a hybrid of everything. And so if something aligns, if the technicals look good to me and I like the company, like I do Roblox, and it showing me a good entry point, then I don't mind getting in on some of those option contracts. So these ones are actually up more than 100% from when I bought them yesterday. So nice little return on those Roblox
calls.
Take
the money and run.
Well, I did. I'm glad you said that because I did sell. So you can see yesterday I bought five contracts for $245. Today I sold three of them for $234. So I basically got my money back minus, you know, $11. And I'm letting these other two contracts kind of run for, you know, maybe a day or two longer just to see what they do.
Nice. Nice job, man. I mean, you've made two profitable trades in the last couple of days. Take the money and run. Good job. Good on you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you know, we've talked
about it. I have a question. How long was it between when the idea first occurred to you and when you actually made the trade?
Oh, not very long at all.
I know, but are we talking like 10 minutes? Or are we talking like under a minute?
I mean, I have all these stocks that are like constantly on my watch list. Alibaba and Roblox are definitely on there.
Okay.
And if I you know, see one that's like underperforming or outperforming the market and the technicals look like, oh, this is a good entry point. I mean, I could make that trade in less than 2 minutes. You know, it's as simple as picking an expiration date and a strike price.
Got it. I always like chastise you for buying options, but the truth is I really need to do, I could probably do well if I traded around some of my longer term positions with via options. They just require you to babysit them in a little bit, and I don't have the attention span during the day to do that. So I don't know, but nice job, man. Good for you. You're two for two. Take the money and run.
Well, I don't know if I, so let's see. These were up. I only bought three contracts, so it's a little harder to like sell some and keep some. But let's see, I bought them for $73 and they're $71 right now. So, but I did sell one for $95. So I made profit on that one, but I should have sold all of them, I guess. But yeah, Spencer, I mean, you know, if you have a long-term position that, is up 20% in a month or something, maybe you want to buy a couple puts on that just in case it goes down and you're already holding it.
I mean, I'd probably rather sell some calls to get paid or something. But yeah, you're right. I totally should. Hey, nice job with you. There's a couple of stocks I want to touch on real fast before we get Dan Andreev on in a few minutes here. Let's pull up a chart. This has been Zynga Pro. Where's my chart? There it is. Vimeo. I guess Vimeo here, I just had it in the news feed. They posted their September, some monthly metrics from September this morning. And I guess their revenue growth of 33%, subscriber growth 14%, average revenue per user, ARPU 16%. These are all year-over-year numbers. That's interesting because the subscriber growth number actually slowed, it looks like. So anyway, the stock, which I always forget Vimeo is public. I always forget Vimeo is public. Anyway, it's having its best day in a while. This has been pretty much straight down since it was an IPO or direct listing. I want to say it was an IPO. And pretty much straight down since that happened in June. So, hey, I would probably sell this rip. I wouldn't buy it up here. I would sell this rip, but I thought this was notable because it's the best day, I think, that the stock maybe has ever had on a percentage basis. So, all-time low yesterday. And today you're up 13%.
So yeah, this is a company that I've used before. I don't know like the long-term thesis for it as a stock. So I'm not invested in it or anything like that. But yeah, it's one of those companies, like you, Spencer, that I always forget is a publicly traded company.
Yeah. What about Sleep Number, SNBR? Did you see this one today? Down 5%. And this chart looks downright scary to me because you just fell below whatever floor that was in the $90 area or whatever, not low, the low 90s. You are firmly below that now. And it looks like we're going to go green for the year, red for the year in this thing. We closed 2020 at $80 or 80, what is that? 83. So, we'll call it 80. Right, 80, 81. That's where we closed last year at. We're at 86 right now. This is looking downright scary. This is not an inflation hedge. Beds.
Yeah, apparently. Spencer, I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I was actually getting, I had trouble getting a bed delivered, and it was from Sleep Number.
No, I don't remember this.
So I had an order out with Sleep Number to get a bed delivered. And, first day comes around, it doesn't end up coming. They, I call that. This was the most annoying part is they didn't call me saying like, oh, we're going to have to cancel this delivery. It's not going to come today. I had to call them and like inquire. Then finally they're like, all right, yeah, it's, we're not going to be able to deliver the bed today, whatever.
Huh. Did they say why?
They said they were missing a part. And then the next.
A part?
Yeah, I don't know. And then the next, it wasn't like just the mattress. Like they were delivering.
I guess it is a Sleep Number bed. I guess there is some parts to that. All right.
Yeah. Anyway. And then so I, expressed my frustration naturally. We schedule a subsequent appointment, maybe for the next week. The next week comes and same thing is happening again. Well, actually this time I called like kind of preemptively. Cause I'm like, hey, just making sure the bed's going to come today in between 9:30 and 12:30. Like we said. And they were like, oh, actually, like we had a computer error. The bed is not going to come today. So two times in a row, the bed isn't coming. Mind you, I'm sleeping on an air mattress. The company did offer me. They're like, yeah, if you want to go buy a temporary mattress, we'll, rebate you anything up to $400. So I was going to go out and buy like a $400 mattress from Walmart or something, get them to pay me for it and then return the mattress. But I never got around to doing so. And finally, on the third time, they did deliver the bed. But at that time, I was like pissed off and I was looking at puts on Sleep Number trying to short it. But the stock is just not very volatile or liquid. So wow. Like, there weren't a lot of good contract options. But now I'm wishing I did because it sounds like if this was like a month ago and I would have made that trade, I might be looking pretty nice.
Wait, and how long ago was that?
This was like a month ago.
Oh, man. All right. So it sounds like they're having some, just like everyone else.
Right.
Supply chain concerns for beds, apparently.
Right.
Having trouble sourcing components or maybe even just getting deliveries done. Wow, all right. I didn't know any of that.
Because there were mornings where like I wasn't in the office because I was bed's supposed to get delivered. Yeah, and that was one of like the many running problems with my apartment, but that was one that isn't really on the apartment, more on Sleep Number.
All right. Hey, our next guest is here and I want to bring him on, cause he's got a couple of thoughts. He's got a couple of things he likes. Interesting. I think our next guest also has in addition to his own company, I think he's also got inflation on his mind here based on some of the things he just dropped in our private chat. So let's get Dane Andrefon from Helios Medical. Bring him on right now. Dane, good afternoon. How are we doing today?
I'm good, Spencer. How are you?
I'm good. You must be thinking about inflation because you said you like gold, you like natural gas, you like uranium.
Well, you know, pretty much everything's going up in price. Food, energy. But if you like the old school, you know, gold, nat gas, uranium, I'm an old 25 year veteran of hedge funds. I used to run money for Julian Robertson. And, you know, these names are just starting to explode on the nat gas and uranium side. But the gold and silver really have been left back, along with Helios Medical Technologies, which I'd love to discuss.
Of course. I wanted to just real fast, I just want to pull up a random uranium chart, right? I mean, uranium has been one of the highest flyers this year. You can go there, you can go to the UUUU or whatever. But yeah, I mean, just uranium. So, okay, you are a former?
Actually, the CEO of UEC, Uranium Energy, his one child actually was on our device. He's got a cerebral palsy child, and he was treated with our device and therapy. So,
I
know him well.
So, interesting. Tell us about what Helios is working on.
Yeah, Helios, the technology came out of the University of Wisconsin in the late 90s and into the 2000s. It treats basically a very common symptom across CNS, central nervous system, diseases like MS, like stroke, like traumatic brain injury, cerebral palsy, Parkinson's, you name it. So basically what we're treating right across that spectrum of indications is balance and gait dysfunction. So most of these patients can't look left, can't look right without losing their balance or walking forward or going up and down stairs. They just have a very low quality of life because of the balance and gait deficit due to these, whether chronic diseases like MS and potentially stroke, but also trauma with a traumatic brain injury. And we are the only company in North America right now with a cleared therapy, our PoNS device therapy, which I'll talk to, in traumatic brain injury. By Health Canada. So we've treated well over 300 patients in traumatic brain injury clinically and commercially in Canada right now. Through about 30.
So wait, what exactly is the device? The device?
So this is something, you know, in a great case. It's the PoNS neuromodulation stimulator. So I think Tim Cook and Steve Jobs would love this device. Let me open it up real quick. Nice handle. But you open it up and you have a smart device controller, if you could see that.
Yeah.
And the mouthpiece. So basically, I'm going to take the device, the smart device there, which is our controller, and then plug in the mouthpiece. So basically it plugs in right here and the mouthpiece goes on top of your tongue.
Whoa.
So okay. It's 20 minutes a day, twice a day, in combination with physical therapy to improve your balance and gait. Now, we are cleared by the FDA since March of this year for gait deficit in MS patients.
Okay.
So there's a million MS patients and growing, and 41% of them have gait deficit. So it's a massive problem in a very chronic, well-advertised, well-lit disease. So that's going to be our first commercial launch in the US. But in Canada, since late 2018, we are cleared for balance deficit due to mild to moderate traumatic brain injury. And then last year, we got our second clearance approval by Health Canada in MS, in gait deficit. So, and the big news that came in August of this year, we got our second breakthrough designation device by the FDA. It was granted in balance and gait dysfunction due to stroke. Now, stroke is massive. It's 7 times greater than MS, as is TBI. There's 7 million people living with chronic stroke. 80% of them have gait deficit, a balance and gait deficit. And that's chronic stroke. There's also subacute and acute stroke, where there's 800,000 new strokes a year. 80% of them go right into rehab. So this is not enhanced rehab. It's a PoNS therapy with our device.
You said the stroke, that was in Canada or the U.S.? That was in Canada, right?
No, we just garnered our second FDA breakthrough designation in August in stroke. So that was the U.S. So right now what we need is a pivotal trial for stroke, which we are starting to develop as we speak. So very exciting times for such a small company.
Okay. So you're approved in the U.S., for only, I guess, a couple of use cases.
Just MS.
Just MS, right. But you're working on getting approval for CP or...
Yes, we have data in CP. We're going to have data in Parkinson's in the near future.
Okay.
We also believe we're going to have a pivotal trial for our second traumatic brain injury trial for balance and gait deficit as well. So we could be the only company that could be approved in the U.S. by the FDA and TBI, and that would be probably 2024.
Okay. But, and what's the situation on just like production? Like you have the FDA clearance for one thing in the U.S., but what about production?
That's so we have been commercializing in Canada in in 2 years. We're in 33 neuro PT clinics. We use Keytronics up in Minnesota, publicly traded company, as our OEM to manufacture our controller and our mouthpiece. So basically, what transpires here when we stimulate the tongue, Spencer, in combination with physical therapy, we have 143 gold-plated electrodes on this mouthpiece, and it's twice a day for 20 minutes in combination with physical therapy. So basically, we are gently stimulating the tongue. It feels like champagne popping, or do you remember Pop Rocks? I don't know if you're that young, the candy. Yeah. So that's what it feels like on your tongue. So even when you take your index finger and just touch it, you are stimulating your brain. It, that goes right through your there's two.
And so what's the idea is that what it just like improves balance? Is it
so basically, you know, if you just sit on the couch with our device and have this in your mouth, you're not going to improve your balance and gait. Okay. It doesn't work that way. It's in combination. It's like learning to ride a bike again. So you don't have 100% of your balance and gait deficit like you and I have right now. When you have one of these chronic diseases, you have this common symptom in MS, gait deficit, or a balance deficit, in TBI, balance deficit, in stroke, same thing. You know, you can't get up without falling. You can't go up and down stairs. You can't look left or turn right without losing your balance. So this is a big deal, and it really affects the quality of life for most of these patients. Of course, a lot of them can't go back to work if they've had a TBI.
It's always interesting whenever I talk to someone who like had a career in one field and left it for another. Because you, like you said, you manage money. You're a professional money manager, and then you left to become the present CEO.
Yeah.
So why?
When the Maple Leaf Partners wound down, became a family office, we started doing more private and public investing, really in healthcare. And I started investing in Helios a few years ago, joined the board. Hopefully I could help management steer their way through some of the financial issues, compensation issues, and so forth. And just using my background of really being with management teams for the last 30 plus years. So when this opportunity existed, when Helios basically needed a new direction from the senior level, I volunteered. And in August of last year, I started as the interim CEO. I did something special. I took no compensation whatsoever for about 11 months. No salary, no stock option, no cash bonus. And then basically, you know, from then on, I started building out the new team. I helped bridge the company financially in two deals. I've been investing in every deal. Myself and my family own well over 9% of this company right now. We've just brought in a new CFO, Jeff Matheson, from the board, as well as our new chief medical officer, who's a KOL MS expert neurologist as well. And then the head of sales and marketing came from LivaNova, which is the biggest neuromodulation company in North America right now. So,
question from our chat before we wrap up here is, sure. is the treatment, I presume it's a temporary improvement. You have to keep using it, right?
So right now it's a 14-week treatment, okay. twice a day for 20 minutes in combination with physical therapy. Your first 2 weeks are in the neuro PT setting. The last 12 weeks, you do your exercises at home, and you come in once a week, and we download your data with your PT, and we look at your progress and improvement. So right now our data, you know, is really for short term only, but we're looking to get longer term data as well. We have it already in traumatic brain injury. We did a washout. It was excellent data, and that garnered our first clearance by Health Canada and TBI. So,
and then I guess like what are the best you can provide like a timeline on when you'll get the FDA clearance for everything that you want to get clearance for?
Yeah. So it's all about expanding the label of this platform technology. So first and foremost is MS in the US.
Right.
We're looking to do a pivotal trial in stroke. We're looking at probably, you know, first quarter 2024 for FDA clearance in stroke. So all, you know, and we're hopefully also get a parallel pathway TBI as well. So
okay.
to do all this for the next 2 years is a massive lift, but it's a fantastic lift. The testimonies that we have coming from our clinicians, from our patients in Canada, the technology, the therapy, the PoNS therapy works. It truly works, and it changes people's lives. Their quality of life improve. There's so many positive side effects to this therapy. I just can't make claims, you know, but we just hear of the great stories.
I wouldn't want you to make claims anyway. Yeah. That couldn't be backed up. All right. Yeah. Dan Andreeff, he's the CEO of Helius Medical, ticker chart up on the screen. Dan, thanks a lot for coming on today.
Great. Thanks, Spencer.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, AB, where'd you go, my man? Come back to me.
I'm right here, Spencer. You were just killing it on the interview, so I did not want to.
No, I know what happened. You stepped away to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Me. I got you. Anyway.
Well, yeah, Spencer. So as you mentioned, we got a packed show today. Three guests. That was our first one. Dane Andreeff. We've got another exciting biotech company coming up as well, Spencer.
Lisa Conte. And I see her here backstage from Jaguar Health. Jaguar. Should we bring Lisa on?
Let's do it, Spencer.
I love saying Jaguar with a good, you know, the British accent. I bet you that's how it's pronounced.
We can ask. We can ask her.
Maybe we should. Let's get Lisa on. You want me to do? Oh, there she is. Okay, Lisa Conte. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just heard the end of that conversation, and it sounded very similar to ours. Label expansion for an initial indication, not making claims outside your initial indication.
Right. Right. So tell us about what you're working on and what your initial indications are, and then we'll go from there.
So what we're working on, we do all plant-based drug discovery, some plants that are used traditionally from the rainforest. And we did take our first product from a tree growing in the rainforest to a first-in-class FDA-approved drug called Mytesi. And it's a drug for gastrointestinal symptoms. It normalizes gut function. And it's initially approved in people living with HIV/AIDS and has multiple follow-on indications, one of which is in phase 3 clinical trials right now for cancer therapy-related diarrhea, which is the biggest side effect associated with cancer therapy and affects everything from dignity and quality of life all the way to outcome of the patient's cancer therapy, because the interruption with the gastrointestinal distress causes patients to take drug holidays or reduce their dose or even change their life-saving therapy. And then there's multiple other follow-on indications, IBS, IBD. We have a rare disease and short bowel syndrome. So it's a real pipeline within a product.
What is the market size here? We're talking anybody with any sort of gastrointestinal problem?
Eventually, we get to all the different indications. So right now, our label, for example, is only in people living with HIV/AIDS. It's a chronic label, chronic administration. And then we're going for cancer. We'll need to do an additional clinical trial for irritable bowel syndrome, an additional clinical trial for Crohn's disease, inflammatory bowel disease. So one by one, we'll be able to get to all the patients in need around the world.
How long do those trials take?
Well, it depends. So the cancer trial is, we're about 9 months into it, and it'll be completed about 1 year from now. It's about 250 patients. What's very interesting, it's literally my Tessie. So it's the product in the same dose, the same formulation that we have in commercial use right now for HIV. So when we think about risk management, most new drug applications fail because of a safety issue or a manufacturing issue. We obviously already have the supply chain worked out, and we have a chronic indication. So, for example, we have 2-year carcinogenicity. So it's a matter of conducting that pivotal trial, and risk reduction for us is spending a lot of time with the FDA to make sure we have discussion and agreement on that pivotal trial design, on enrollment criteria, endpoint definition, which will define where you're going to be able to make your claims and promote. So you don't finish the trial, have a successful trial, and the FDA says, great, you know, if only you looked at one additional thing. So anyway, the bottom line is each additional indication is probably about a 2-year effort.
So in this case, we're looking at like the next catalyst for Jaguar Health being like a year out from now.
Well, not the next catalyst. That is a very big, important catalyst, because you asked about the size. So there's diarrhea is the number one side effect with cancer therapy, and there's nothing that's been tested and approved specifically in that indication. So what do we know about of supportive care in cancer? Chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. And that is a market that is expected to be, by third-party analysts, about a $3 billion next year, and you typically take those agents for like the first 3 days of a chemo cycle, whereas diarrhea with targeted therapies, these therapies that patients stay on chronically to stay in remission for years at a time, is occurring, you know, every single day. So that's a huge indication in terms of the number of patients, the impact we can have on their life, and of course the revenue that results from that. But nearer term catalysts.
Yeah.
We have the brand name is Mytesi. The generic name is Crofelemer. And Crofelemer is getting ready to be launched in December of this year as under the trade name Canalevia for chemotherapy-induced diarrhea in dogs under a conditional approval from the FDA because it's called MUMS, which is like an orphan designation to get products available to animals in need, and in this case, dogs in need. And dogs are remarkably predictive of the human situation. The way our product works in the gut is highly conserved in the physiology of the dog gut. And dogs typically get many human designated cancer agents. So we're very excited. And that's, you know, a relatively small market compared to the human market, but a very important market. And it's a very near term event for the company.
And so Lisa, you mentioned that, you know, diarrhea and kind of, you know, some stomach problems are one of the main side effects of cancer treatment. So would this medication also help with weight loss? I mean, I assume the two are associated.
This is not a claim, but when patients aren't, you know, getting dehydrated, because that's the thing with diarrhea, like cholera, for example. What kills you? Not the cholera infection. It's the dehydration that occurs from that, ultimately organ shutdown, et cetera. So when you're not dehydrating, you're maintaining your weight. And we have had patients just say to us, you know, this is lovely. I don't have a sunken face anymore. I'm able to maintain a healthy body presence. That's not a claim that we have. But, you know, you could just imagine from preventing the dehydration.
Right. So by preventing the, you know, diarrhea and those effects, you'd be, you know, retaining more of that hydration. That makes sense.
And, you know, another indication that we're pursuing, which is going to get to what you're thinking about, short bowel syndrome and the intestinal failure associated with that. So this is another near-term event in the company. So short bowel syndrome, we have about an intestine that's maybe 20, 25 feet. So short bowel, you'll have less than 5 feet, maybe as little as 30 centimeters. It could be congenital. It could be due to cancer, necrosis. It could be due to an accident. But normally what's going on in your gut, you have the secretions coming in, and then you have the absorption of the nutrients of life, your proteins, your carbs, your fats, your vitamins, your minerals. And if you have a short bowel, you don't have enough time for those to be absorbed appropriately. So that's an indication that we're pursuing initially in Europe, because we have orphan drug designation here in the United States. We have filed for orphan drug designation in Europe, and that has been accepted, the application. With orphan drug designation in Europe, we have the possibility for an accelerated conditional approval. You can get it into those patients sooner. And the thought is that you're giving them more time by normalizing the secretions, which is the mechanism of action of crofelemer, giving them more time to absorb the nutrients of life and reduce the morbidity and also, unfortunately, the mortality associated with that indication. And that is being funded with our European subsidiary, NAPOEU, merging with a SPAC in Italy called the Dragon SPAC. And it's all filed right now with the Italian government and should be consummated in less than the next month.
Now that's interesting. All right, so we got SPACs, we got Italy. Why go that route?
So again, we wanted to be in Europe.
Right.
And for what I told you about the conditional accelerated approval opportunity for an orphan designation. So we licensed the parent company, Jaguar, however you want to say it, did an exclusive license for the European rights to all the indications of crofelemer. And it's a typical license agreement. So there's benefit to the parent company of an upfront payment, milestone payments, royalties, and that clinical data that will be generated in Europe is available for the parent organization to utilize in the United States. We try as best as possible to pair our clinical programs with non-dilutive financing. So one way to achieve non-dilutive financing in this situation was for the subsidiary, NAPOEU, to be funded by a third party, and there happened to be a Dragon SPAC in Italy. Why Italy? Because Italy is the only country where a SPAC can name their target company while they're raising their money, as opposed to the way it's typically done.
What?
Yeah, Italy is the place where that happens.
AB, did you know that?
I did not. I mean, we probably should know that, Spencer, considering, you know, we're in this field. But maybe Chris and Mitch, our resident SPAC experts, knew that. But I did not.
Wait, now you know.
I feel like that would be a game changer. Imagine if that was the case in the U.S. If you can name, while you're raising your money from your pipe investors, you can say, hey, guys, you should come invest in this stock because a year from now, we're going to go buy this company, or we think.
That oh, yeah. Happy Muhammad in the chat saying Investor Stallone never mentioned that. Maybe next time he comes on the show, he'll talk about that SPAC process. But I mean, I feel like a lot of times here with the SPACs where they're not allowed to disclose it, like oftentimes it's rumored. And I sometimes it's kind of like one of those, trial balloon situations where I think they like purposely let it leak and see how the response is. But who knows?
Wow.
Yeah.
Lisa, you just taught us all something new today.
Blew my mind.
Okay. Doing my best. So yeah, years ago, I don't know, let's say 5, 6, 7 years ago, Italy was the second most active market in SPACs for that very reason. It cooled off for a bit when maybe some of the SPAC sponsors were a little too generous with their return to themselves. But our SPAC sponsor...
You're kidding, right? Oh, man.
Do you have another connection to Italy outside of that, Lisa?
We do have another connection that we... I'm very interesting looking at the plants behind you, Spencer. The largest plant-like tree... based GMP manufacturer in the world is in Milano, Italy, called Indena. And they are scaling up to be our second or our long-term large-scale plant manufacturer. We've worked with them for over 25 years. And in fact, they just did a nice investment in Jaguar, in the parent company.
Wow.
I will pass your compliments to the chef. I'm not responsible for these decorations here. I'm stuck at home in a quarantine right now. So this is what I've got. I got what I got. So I'll pass your compliments to the chef on that.
Okay. To the chef or the chief?
that too. Lisa Conti is the CEO of Jaguar Health. joining us today on the Power Hour, Lisa. Thank you so much for stopping by. We would love to have you on again as we get closer to those next catalysts.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Lisa. Lisa. Have a great rest of your morning, Lisa.
Man, we're doing the SPACs wrong in the U.S. I think was I think we need to let these companies. Can you even just imagine?
So essentially, let's back this up for some, maybe if any of our audience members don't understand the kind of difference. So essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, here in the States, you have a special purpose acquisition company, a quote unquote blank check company that's raising money from investors to then go buy to take another company public.
Right. So you have 2 years. So you go out and you raise money from investors, and then you IPO that company. But your company is not; it's just a blank check. It's a shell company. Doesn't do anything. And you raise money with the idea that within 2 years, from the second we IPO, we have a 2 year clock. We got to buy. We got to use the money that we've raised to buy another company. Otherwise, we have to return that money to all the people that invested in the SPAC. In the U.S., these SPACs are not allowed to talk about their targets before they have a deal. Apparently in Italy, that's not the case. You can raise money with the intention of saying, hey, we are going to do that. You should invest now because we're going to buy X company down the line.
Let's say I'm an Italian SPAC. Uh-oh. We kind of lost you for a sec, but you're back. So say I'm an Italian SPAC called iSPAC, Italian SPAC, and I'm raising money. I can say we are raising this money in goals of taking Ferrari public. Or Benzinga. What'd you say?
Or Benzinga.
Or Benzinga. We can say our target now. Here, where if you say you look at I can't even think of like a one of the SPACs. Like the actual SPAC company, like Northern
Diamond Peak Holdings. There's
Diamond Peak Holdings. You don't know. There are rumors, but you don't know for sure that Diamond Peak is targeting Clover Health or whoever it is.
Yeah.
Coupon Boy brings up a good point in the chat. U.S. can say what sector they are targeting.
Yes, that's a good point. They can.
So a lot of times people will, infer like, oh, this company's raising money in the healthcare space. They're going to target Clover or whatever it is. But, Andre, I know Ferrari's already public. I was just thinking of an Italian company off the top of my head. I don't know. Name another Italian company.
I got one. Oh, wait, I think they got bought. I was going to say Nutella, but I think they got bought by who owns Nutella? I think. Does Mondelez? I forget. Somebody big owns Nutella. Anyway.
IPOF Discord. See, I feel like there are some where it's like very like clear what the company is. What's the one that's going to take Apex public? It's like Northern something. Apex Clearing SPAC.
That closed yet? Or no, that didn't close. No, that didn't close yet. I guess. Yeah, let's search them. That's the best part of the pros. You can search for it.
I think it's NSTB or NTSB.
Northern Star Investment.
Yeah.
Apex FinTech. You're right. Yeah.
So the only reason that's like out there in the public is because the deal's already been announced. Okay, here we go. Now we got the real SPAC expert in the chat, Chris Kache. Some SPACs have listed their target in the filing. Was a mobile game deal that happened this way.
We got a lot of knowledge. Andre's correcting me. I knew Nutella was owned by someone. They're owned by Ferrero. Thank you, which was like a family business. Thank you, Andre. Andre must know his confectionaries. Thank you, Andre. Thank you, Chris, for dropping. Yeah, okay, thank you. Gucci, another Italian company there. Name all the Italian companies. Anyway, Chris Cacci, today we learned that SPACs can name the targets ahead of time as they're raising money in Italy, and we thought that was fun. So, I mean, that we all learned something today. So, not very often we do back-to-back biotech interviews on the show. Probably not something we'll do a lot of. Let me let you in on a little secret, though. These biotech companies are very easy to book, right? They love talking about about themselves. They're very responsive. That's why you may see a lot of biotech companies get some press, because they're very easy to book. So some inside baseball there. But thank you to Jaguar and Helios today. We were supposed to have a third guest. Oh, I see him here. So our third guest, this is interesting, AB. This we'll bring him on in a second. His company is not public, but that does not mean that we can't invest in it.
So Spencer, if you know, for some of our audience out there, if you're a big fan of the show, you tune in with us, you know, day in and day out. I had my good friend Julian on the show a week or two ago from Core Connects. And essentially what Core Connects does, as Julian explained, was they help set up private companies that are raising money either through Reg A or Reg CF, you know, which just allows retail investors to purchase shares of private companies before they go public. And Core Connects sets up the technology to allow these companies to do so, you know, directly with that company. So instead of having to go to a website like Start Engine or something like that, you can go straight to the company's website and invest in it. And Trung Pham, who's coming on right now, he heads up one of these companies. He started his own company called Rise. We're going to get to talk to Trung about that. And Core Connects is, you know, has set up the technology to allow investors like us, like you and I, Spencer, to go straight to Rise's website and purchase shares of the company before it goes public. You know, for hundreds of years, however long people have been investing, retail investors have not had access to purchase shares of private companies like this. So this is something that's kind of new and exciting.
All right, let's get Trung on here.
Trung, how are we doing this beautiful Wednesday?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Can you correct me? Was I incorrect in anything I said there?
No, everything you said was correct for sure.
All right,
no
there we
way.
Go.
No way.
There's a first time for everything.
Oh my goodness. All right, Trung, tell us about Rise. This is interesting because there are some big players that are tangentially related to you. So tell us for about sure. What you're working on.
So we're in the smart home IoT space. We create a little device, as you can see on the screen there, and I'm holding one up in my hand. And it's essentially a smart home device that you mount on the window frame, and you're able to motorize and automate your existing window shades. So the problem that we're solving today is that most window coverings in the market, they're manually controlled. And once you install them, you can never automate them again. You'd actually have to replace them with brand new motorized shades. So we came up with a suite of devices that allow you to motorize your existing window shades and blinds. And you know, we're a category within the booming smart home market. You know, over the last few years, you see a lot of exits by some of the large players like Google buying Nest for $3.2 billion and Amazon buying Ring recently for $1.2 billion and so on and so on. So there's a lot of activity in the smart home space. And not only that, you know, even though we're a smart home device to motorize your shades, we do target the much larger and lucrative commercial market. And when we're talking about the commercial market, you know, there's a huge opportunity for energy savings. And that's what's really appealing to these partners that we're working with, where they're able to save a substantial amount of energy just by passively opening and closing their shades to, you know, one, reduce solar heat gain and reduce indoor cooling, or two, reduce indoor lighting use. And that's really our focus as a company.
So can you set this on like a timer, automate it?
Yes. So with our app, you could set a schedule. So for example, for me, I have it open at 7 a.m. every morning and then close at 8 p.m. Give you that extra privacy. If you're, you know, heading out of the house and your window shades are open, you forgot to close them, you could do that remotely through the app. You can connect it with Google Home, Amazon Alexa, Apple HomeKit. So the primary smart home players out there.
Okay.
Commercial side, we create custom API integrations.
Okay.
So Trung, I imagine, you know, there are a lot of commercial real estate companies out there that might have an ESG focus, you know, as you mentioned that, you know, this device from Rise can help with energy savings. Is that a potential customer, you know, like big commercial real estate companies that are creating big office buildings that you can say, hey, you can put one of these in every office in this building and it will help you with energy savings?
Yeah, definitely. So we actually received a $4 million Canadian clean tech grant to develop our second gen built on the requirements that the commercial partners required. So we're working with a few large commercial players, hotels, office spaces and whatnot. And, you know, they actually had very simple use cases they wanted. They wanted us to lower the shades during evenings and weekends. Why? Because especially during the weekends, they usually don't have tenants in the office. And what happens is that if the window shades are open, all that sunlight during the summer is coming in and the HVAC system is cooling an empty room. So it's just wasted energy. So just by lowering the shades during these times, they block out that solar heat gain and reduce that indoor cooling requirements. And they could save a substantial amount of energy, up to 24% in cooling and 74% in lighting use.
So obviously, you know, Trung, you are targeted, you know, this is a smart home appliance. I guess that's the right word here. You have seen what happened. You mentioned already, you saw what happened to Google Nest or Nest. You saw what happened to Ring with Amazon. Is that like a logical endpoint here for you?
Definitely. So when we think about the type of company we want to become and where we'll end up, I think the most ideal exit would be an acquisition by a larger player. I'm not going to say it's going to happen. Obviously, I can't predict the future there. But, you know, we are positioning ourselves to be an attractive exit, attractive acquire, an attractive target. And, you know, just like Ring, they have the potential to go IPO, and I believe we have that potential too. But I think at the end of the day, we are going to be one of those companies that another big player just comes up and acquires.
What can you say about your sales and revenue right now?
So to date, we've generated over $4.5 million in sales, and that's all audited. Today, it's probably closer to $5.5 million unaudited. So
how many devices is that? Like, what does it retail for?
It retails for $149, so it's okay. well over 35,000 devices to date sold.
Okay.
We just began shipping our second gen, and we are launching. So this product works with anything with a beaded chain or a cord loop, so your traditional window shades and blinds. Okay. But we are creating a device for drapes and curtains. A lot of the hotel partners that we're speaking with all have drapes and curtains for, you know, blackout purposes and whatnot, and that's a retrofit smart drape solution. And we'll be doing a formal launch, hopefully before the end of the year.
Okay.
Trung, does Rise have any, you know, patents on this technology that would kind of prevent, say, you know, a Google Home or Amazon to go out and developing their own automated blind system?
So it's funny when you speak about Amazon. We invented this concept. So we have 4 fully issued patents and a number of more patents pending. And, you know, when you create a physical product like this, a hardware product, you're going to get copycats coming out of China, left, right, and center. But because of our patents, we actually have an Amazon court judgment victory. And what that allows us to do is that anytime a copycat pops up on Amazon, we file on Amazon and they kick the seller off. And many times I get, you know, these long letters from the seller apologizing and whatnot for infringing on the patents. But our patents are that strong. So, you know, anytime you might see a copycat, they might be there up for 1 or 2 days, and then they automatically get removed because of our patents.
Proton says you should merge with a solar company.
I'm sorry?
So Proton from our chat says you should merge with a solar company to have shades that provide solar power.
I've seen other solutions like that. We're not focused on that yet. We're focused more on the IoT connected devices space. Yeah, the whole idea of solar and generating energy, that's beyond our means today.
How long has it taken to bring this product to market? How long has it been development for?
Well, our first gen, we began R&D during 2015. It took us about 2.5 years before we actually got to market. That includes, you know, prototyping, going through production for the first run, testing, all that kind of stuff. The second gen took maybe only a year to develop. So we've improved the whole product development lifecycle for us.
So Trung, backing up to kind of when you first had this idea and started the company, I'm sure you had, you know, critics that were saying like, yeah, this is a good idea, but you can't make a whole company out of this. What did they, you know, get wrong or see wrong that you kind of saw differently at the time?
Well, I have a finance background, so I actually did a whole analysis on the industry, and you have large players like Somfy. They're publicly traded, $5 billion market cap. They focus on motorized shades. They are the leading player in the marketplace today, and they only target the 10% because their solutions must be purchased with the actual window shade. We're targeting the other 90% of real estate asset classes that already have window shades installed and may not want to replace them, may want a retrofit solution. So you can imagine how big the opportunity is on the retrofit side. And not only that, solutions by Somfy, Lutron, LeGround, some of these other larger players, they're $500, $1,000 per window. ours is a $150 product. So it's a much more affordable price point.
Yeah.
The real estate developers and landlords are attracted to it because they think about payback period. They think about, well, I'm not going to install these Lutrons because they're going to cost me, you know, $100,000 for 100 windows versus yours, but that might cost, you know, $15,000. So the payback period is much more attractive. They could earn their money back from savings in under 3 years. You know, it's definitely a bigger market. And to allude to Ring, you know, Ring was a great success story. They sold video doorbell systems. They're in a highly competitive market. They're in the security camera market, but they dominated the video doorbell. And what was interesting was that Ring only sold to single family homes. They were a residential smart home player. They couldn't sell to multifamily. They couldn't sell to commercial. They can't sell to hotels because they're a security system for residential. We don't distinguish and discriminate between the asset classes. We could sell to any asset class, single family homes, multifamily, hotels, commercial office, senior housing.
Is this like, as far as the distribution, is this like a direct to consumer thing? Or are you in like Home Depot or are you going direct to the manufacturers? I mean,
so historically to date, we've generated all our sales online. So direct to consumer online. However, next year, we do have plans in place to be in retail. So you mentioned Home Depot. And then B2B sales is something we're highly pushing forward. So speaking to these large real estate developers and landlords and pushing high volume sales to them.
Trung, do you have any idea down the road kind of what that makeup will be like kind of percentage-wise of what percent of the revenue is coming from direct-to-consumer sales or single home family versus, you know, the more commercial real estate like we talked about?
Yeah. So speaking to our colleagues in the smart home space, like we talked to all the major players out there, all the big players that everyone recognizes, and we do know the makeup. Online is a very small portion. It's only about 7% of the market for us. So it leaves a big opportunity for us when we actually enter these other sales channels. Retail is about a third of industry revenues. So the Costco's, the Best Buy's, the Home Depot's. But the largest and most lucrative channel is B2B sales. So B2B sales to large real estate developers, landlords, commercial office, senior housing, you know, those type of players. And that's eventually where we want to get to.
Got it. Awesome. Well, Trung Pham, CEO and founder of Ryse, that's R-Y-S-E. I'm going to go ahead and drop that link in the chat if anyone wants to go check out the website, see how you can become an early investor. Trung, thank you for coming on the Power Hour today.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And again, the offering page is invest.helloryse.com.
Got it. Right.
Thanks a lot, Trung. Man, dude, the future is now. We're going to have smart everything. Like I'm like you, where I'm not going to be ready to buy a home for a while probably, but like the home that you and I do buy, that first home, whenever that happens, 10 years or whatever, like it's going to be insane. Like the amount of smart shit in these homes.
Well, think about it. I mean, look, one of those he said was like $150. We could go out and buy like a house that was built in the 80s or something, Spencer, and configure it out to be a smart home for probably not that much money. And I think that would you know, raise the value of that of that home a lot. He mentioned Ring quite a bit there. I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, I think Ring was a shark, was brought up on Shark Tank, and none of the sharks wanted to invest in Ring, and now it's huge.
Yep. I want to plug another show for a second. If you ever listen to NPR, there's a podcast called How I Built This, and they're pretty good. Some episodes better than others. They're pretty long. They're like over an hour, but they talk to founders about how they built their companies. And the episode with Ring, with the founder of Ring on the show, was far and away the best episode of that show ever. It's a podcast. How I Built This with the founder of Ring. His name is Jamie something. I don't remember his last
Diamond.
Name. What did you say? Diamond?
I was kidding.
No. Here, I'll look it up. Ring founder. It's Jamie Siminoff, I think is his name. Anyway, that episode was like amazing. If you want to listen to like someone who really like struggled to build this company, like you said, went on Shark Tank, didn't get a deal. Like really inspiring stuff.
That's got to be the biggest, like maybe the biggest company period that's been brought on Shark Tank, but by far the biggest one that what was on Shark Tank. And then no one, I don't know. I haven't seen the episode, so I don't know if like they tried to get equity in it and the deal just, you know, wasn't good enough, or if they just all said like, And for that reason, I'm out. And they just missed out on that.
We've come a long way. When I was growing up, the smart home devices was clap on, right? Clap off. That's what it was when I was growing up. And even before that, we've come a long way. You can automate your blinds and then some. Okay. Hey, it's 1 o'clock. No get technical today because Neil is in New York, where you should be tomorrow and Friday for our Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, our first in-person event since before COVID started. So bzcannabis.com to learn more about that. Neil will be back next week for his show. We do miss him dearly. But so what we got right now is a replay of the roadmap from from yesterday. Then at 2 o'clock, we've got Moon or Bust. I'll be back on at 3:15, 3:20-ish for At the Close with Joel L. Conan. And that's what we got. Hit that like button, please. And thank you. Thanks to everyone in the chat. Thanks to everyone for watching. No power hour rest of the week because we've got, as mentioned, our cannabis conference that we'll be streaming as well for the next 2 days, starting tonight, actually. But AB, good job. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Manny, Shelly, Chris, Proton, Happy, everyone in the chat. Santo, appreciate you. AB, appreciate you. Go do whatever it is you do over there. And keep tabs on the office for me while I'm not there.
Over and outski, as David Green would say.
That's true. He does say that.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.